Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC on a Tuesday during an international break, where nothing is happening except there is some stuff going on behind the scenes, which we'll get into, but there's no games. There's nothing to look forward to until Sunday. It's ages away. Absolutely ages away. No help to anybody. I want a game now. Today. I'm bored. Can't do international football. I just can't do it anymore. It's dreadful. Utterly dreadful, especially when the games are mostly meaningless. This is Anfield today. There's a really good piece that I would urge everybody to go and have a read of. It is called Why Liverpool Legend Matches Matter and the Term Legend Doesn't. And it's written by the brilliant Matt Ladson, who you should all be following on Twitter and reading all of his work. He's one of the guys that's been behind this website for the longest time. And he just has a really good way of kind of digging through the bullshit and framing things. And this is a really good piece about the legend matches and what goes into them and why they're important. And look, every time these games get announced and then the squads get announced and we see certain players and we think, like, legend, really? But at the end of the day, take the game at the weekend, and Matt names two of the lads, Gregory Vignal and Nabil El Zahr. Now, nobody is going to confuse them with actual Liverpool legends. Like, it's never going to happen. But very clearly, playing for Liverpool was huge for both of them, as it would be for any player. Now, at this point in time, we're at a much different level than we were when those two lads were representing the club on a semi-regular basis. We're one of the best teams in the world. We're one of the most powerful clubs in the world. Were a club with enormous revenues, none of which was true when those two were playing. We were often a good team, but never a great team. Like, the Liverpool team that won the European Cup in 05 was not a great team. I mean, go through the names. That wasn't a great team. It had great players in it. It also had some fairly average players in it. The team that won the treble in 01 under Jed, again, not really a great team, but a very good team for sure. Some great players. But it's only really under Jürgen, since Kenny's first spell, that we could be looked at as a great team, who season after season compete at the highest level for the biggest honours. Now, under Rafa, we were very much a team feared in Europe, but we weren't really feared in the Premier League. Under Jürgen, we're feared in both. There's rarely a game where we don't walk onto the pitch as favourites, and that was never the case under Rafa, under Houllier, under Evans, certainly not under Souness. Like, when we played the top teams under all of those managers, we were underdogs. And that suited us to a large degree. But under Jürgen, we've had to learn as a club and as a fan base how to be favourites. So the club has moved on, but for guys like Elzar and Vignal, their time at Liverpool is very special to them. So for them to get the opportunity to come back to the club and play in front of a full house at Anfield, an ever-growing Anfield, it's just a tremendous thing. And like, Nabil Elzar had a long career. He only stopped playing at the end of last season. I actually don't think he's even retired yet. I don't think he's officially retired. But he played last year. And he went on and had himself a solid career. He left Liverpool in 2011, having spent 7 years at the club. Obviously, spent a year on loan with PAOK. Went to Levante, went to Las Palmas, went to Leganes. That's 8 years playing for decent clubs. Then he went to Al Ahly in Qatar. And then he finished up playing for another team in Qatar. He won 10 caps for Morocco. Like, he had a solid career. And Liverpool was a springboard for him. But Liverpool's also the pinnacle of his career, because while those are all solid clubs that he played for, none of them are a club of our stature. The same thing would be true of Gregory Vignal, who's 42 years of age now and working as a coach. And, you know, he came to Liverpool as a young lad, left his homeland, moved across, put his trust into a coaching staff and a club. I always liked him. I always thought he was a decent player. He comes in from Montpellier at 19, plays for Liverpool for 5 years. Now, he had two of those years were basically spent on loan. He didn't feature a whole lot. He went to Portsmouth. He went to Lons. He had loans at Kaiserslautern and Southampton, played for Birmingham. Like, he had a solid career. He's done, by all accounts, he's a pretty good coach. I know he was the manager of Rangers women's team. He worked in the Marseille Academy. He was working at Dundee United. I think it was Dundee. He's doing his pro license. Like, there's a chance he becomes a decent manager. But again, Liverpool is the highlight of his career. And he never, like, when he joined Liverpool, he'd have had dreams of scoring in front of the cop. Same with Nabil Elzar. And they're men now in their late 30s, early 40s, getting to live out those dreams that they didn't necessarily get to live out as players. But now they get to come back, see people they haven't seen in a long time, play in front of, like I said, an ever-expanding Anfield for a club that is thriving. And they get to score goals in front of the cop. Like, that's fantastic. It's the same thing I was talking about yesterday with Sven. Like, Sven has been there and done it. He's one of the great managers of all time. And yet, this boyhood dream that he'd had came through at the weekend And it's a thrill for him. And the same thing is going to be true of these players. Like Jibril Cisse, his son is in the academy now. But you could see the joy he had in scoring his goal and how much he wanted to get his goal. Torres, I mean, Torres won everything. World Cup, European Championships, European Cup, UEFA Cup, league title. Torres won everything. Did everything in the game. And yet, to come back to Anfield and score 13 years or whatever it is that since he left, 14 years since he left, that meant a huge amount to him. Now, some of the love fest for Torres was a bit too much, and people have clearly forgotten how he left. But at the same time, you know, let bygones be bygones. But just, you know, remember things. Just remember things. But like, there is something special about this club. And it's stuff like inviting Sven that make this club really special. There's something about being a Liverpool fan. And we all know that you go on social media and Liverpool bad is like, you know, a fairly prominent thing. But that's what makes being a Liverpool fan so much fun, is that there is this feeling that it's us against the world. And that does stem from the city of Liverpool and how when the Tory government under Thatcher tried to put Liverpool into what they called a managed decline in the hope of, you know, beating down the people far enough that eventually they would welcome their Tory overlords, and the city kind of rose up against that, and Scouse not English becomes a prominent thing, and it's Liverpool against the UK and against the Tory government. That is what has bred all of this feeling that it is us against the world. And that's a magnificent thing that you see with certain other clubs. Napoli, very much like that. Naples was put into a managed decline at one point. The people of Naples, insular as they are, fought back. Napoli, viewed as an outcast by the preeminent clubs in Italy, the Milan clubs, Juventus, the Rome clubs, they all look down on Napoli. Napoli aren't one of them. And that gives Napoli a chip on their shoulder. And I believe it's the same thing with Liverpool. Like when we're in a title race against City, all of a sudden, Arsenal fans and Chelsea fans and United fans are all like, oh, I want City to win the title. Because they're just weird people. They're just weird people. They would rather the cheaters prosper than Liverpool win the title. But that's fine with us. Do we care? Not a bit. Not a bit. Marseille is another club that's like that. And the city of Marseille is similar to the city of Liverpool in so many ways. That's what makes Liverpool special. And that's why these players, when they come to the club, unless they have a particularly bad experience, which has happened, not all that often, but it has happened. That's why they all love coming back. And despite whatever way they left, in Torres' case, forcing himself out the door, he always wants to come back and have some involvement. The same thing with Alonso. You know, Xabi forced his way out. And yet, when he talks about his previous clubs, and remember who he played for, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, two of the biggest clubs in the world, like us, absolute undeniable European royalty. The three of us in AC Milan stand above all others in that regard. He played for, it's a shame he never played for AC Milan, but regardless, when he talks about Real or he talks about Bayern, and then he talks about Liverpool, there's like a reverence in his voice when he talks about Liverpool.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
And we have that motto of this means more. And Trent got chastised for saying that, you know, winning with us or winning for us means more. But it's the truth. It really is the truth. Now, it's not just us. It isn't. I would say United in some ways are similar. I think for when they were winning everything, I do think it meant more to their fans than, say, it does for City fans, because so many of them are Johnny Come Latelys. United fans, the older United fans, not this, the Klingons that appeared while they were dominant, but the older United fans in those early years under Ferguson when they were struggling and then they finally broke through. But those fans who are like us, who'd been through failure after failure, close call after close call, disappointment after disappointment, the odd cup here and there, the odd bit of success here and there, but for the most part, disappointment for decades. Like, those fans, when United finally broke through and won that first league title and then followed it up with another, and that run through the 90s that they had, for those fans, it did mean a lot more. Like, it really did mean a lot more because they'd been through the bad times. And I always wonder, with much older Liverpool fans, most of whom have probably passed, unfortunately, by now, but like guys that were, you know, on the terraces pre-Shankly and then seeing the club build under Shankly, but not always have that consistent success, but seeing the club improve and improve and improve. When Paisley came in to the manager's job, and Liverpool started to win more and more, like that must have been incredible. Like, you've been through the decades of shit before Shankly, then some great times, obviously, under Shankly. And Shankly, like Klopp, was that almost cultish leader who you would go to war for, because whatever about him being a great manager, which obviously Shankly was and Jurgen is, it's the man that you were connecting with. That's who you were really connecting with, is the man. And then after that, you get Bob Paisley and you just start, when the floodgates open, you win everything. And it's probably almost overwhelming. And I often wonder, like I've talked about it before, is Jurgen this era's Shankly for us? Are we going to go into the next era of Liverpool under our next manager and potentially win quite a lot more than we've won under Jurgen? Because, well, first and foremost, that Baldy fella in Manchester is not going to be there for a whole lot longer. One, maybe two more years. After that, they're falling down. Because whoever they get to replace Pep is going to be a sizable step down. Now, we are going to be taking a step down from Jurgen. The difference is we are improving our structure. They can't do that. Their structure is already operating at the highest level it's capable of. So they're just going to lose. We can sort of recreate Jurgen in the aggregate. And if you look at the top young managers right now, the top two standouts are Ruben Amorim and Xabi Alonso. If we take Amorim now, Alonso's not going there. He's just not. Xabi Alonso is not going there. So who else do they go for? Do they go for a Nagelsmann? Do they go for a De Zerbi? Do they go for Thiago Motta, perhaps? I mean, these are all very good managers. But there's question marks to be asked over all of them. And there would be question marks over Alonso and over Amorim, but I think less question marks. I think those two have higher ceilings than the three I mentioned in conjunction with City. So Jurgen has been so unfortunate that the majority of his time at Liverpool has just coincided with Pep being at City and them spending as they have and cheating as they have. There's also the possibility that they just disappear off the landscape entirely, of course, when their case comes up. So if they're out of the picture and you've got a Chelsea owned by Todd Boehly, who doesn't know what he's doing, you've got a Manchester United club who have so much work to do, it's a long, long road for them. You've got Arsenal, who are at max capacity now of what they're going to be. Like, it's going to be really hard for Arsenal to improve on what they've done without spending huge amounts of money that I don't know that they're going to have, or I don't know that they're going to be able to afford under FFP. And what they've really built is a third place team. Like 620 million in, they're the third best team in England. I know they sit top at the minute. They're the third best team in this league. Liverpool and City are the two best teams in the league. What Arsenal have built for 600 million is number three. And people will say, oh yeah, but they're a very young team. And they are, that's fair. But have you seen how much football some of these young players have played? Go and look at Marcus Rashford. See what's happening with him. Look at what happened with Dele Alli. Look what happened with loads of other exceptional players who played far too much football between the ages of 18 and 22. And look what happened to them by the time they got to 25, 26. Like, Arsenal's window isn't endless. It's not like a thing where they can look at Saka and go, well, we've got 10 more years of him getting better and better. I don't think so. I think by 26, 27, we'll be seeing Bukayo Saka start to dip, which is a shame. But I think he's peaking now. I really do. I think he's in his peak now. And we've seen other players in the past. Romelu Lukaku peaked at 22. Wayne Rooney peaked at 22. And by 26, they were on the decline. So the idea that all footballers peak at 25, 26, 27 just isn't true anymore. When you peak is directly linked to when you start playing regularly. It's no longer just a matter of, oh, well, at these ages. It just isn't. Football age and age are different things. And Saka is a lot older than just 22 in terms of games played. Like, he is vastly experienced. So I think the Arsenal thing, I don't see them as a team. Like, they're going to be around for the next few years for sure. But I don't see them as like the next power or anything, which is why if we were to bring in Ruben Amorim, I do think he can go toe to toe with Guardiola quite quickly based on what Jurgen's leaving behind, continue to build on that, on the foundations that Jurgen has put in place, get more out of the academy because of, again, the work that Jürgen and his staff have done, and also having Edwards and co running recruitment, you've got best in class. It's going to put us in a really strong position. And if City disappear off the landscape, that might open a 3 or 4 year window for us to just win everything multiple times. Do you know? And that will be like the Paisley thing, and it will mean more. Because even though we've won under Jürgen, none of us are forgetting the Hodgson years and those old enough to remember the Souness years. And, you know, Roy Evans, we won a cup, but we didn't ultimately get much done. Jed had one great year winning the treble. But other than that, it was largely a disappointment because we didn't win the league. We didn't win the European Cup. Rafa had one great year winning the European Cup. But remember, we finished fifth that year. And we didn't win a league title under him. And then obviously Hodge, Kenny, Rodgers, like that was grim. Grim years. But Jürgen turned it around and he's put things in place and the next guy will take it on and it will mean more to us. And again, that's why this club is so special. Piece here on This Is Anfield. Liverpool would need world record fee for manager who scores highly on data. This is about Ruben Amorim. And he says it would be a world record fee. Now, I'm not sure where he's gotten that from. The 39-year-old has scored highly in data tests led by Director of Research Will Spearman, according to Lewis Steele of the Mail. Lewis Steele, by the way, what a get for the Mail. That guy's really good. Like, he's a massive upgrade on the gobshite that had that job before. Lewis Steele's been really, really good since taking the beat. Liverpool owners should also be aware that the figure required to prize would be a world record fee. It has been suggested it will be as much as 25 million. Well, I would suggest that David Ornstein, in an article not all that long ago, wrote about how when Chelsea were interested, it was actually 20 million, but it has since dropped. So I don't think this is accurate at all. I don't know where Jack Lusby has gotten that figure from, potentially from Romano, who's one that said it. But according to David Ornstein, who's far more reliable than Fabrizio Romano, largely because he's actually a journalist and not a social media influencer, it could be as low as 10 million, which is lower than De Zerbi's is at Brighton. Jadon Dans captains England as to trophy as Liverpool trio feature. Jadon Dans, every time I watch him, I'm impressed. Amara Nalo and Trainioni were also part of that England squad. I was talking to somebody who's a West Ham fan the other day, and they reckon Nalo is a big, big talent. And obviously, Trainioni is incredibly highly rated at Liverpool. Another new face at Liverpool revealed as transfer staff gets revamped. Mark Burchell is joining, obviously, from Bournemouth along with Richard Hughes. And Craig McKee, who was the scouting coordinator for Bournemouth, is also coming in as well. He's quite highly regarded. He worked in rugby for a couple of years before moving into football and has always been very, very highly regarded. I am going to suggest that Barry Hunter, Kyle Wallbanks, and Dave Fallows potentially get elevated beyond Liverpool Football Club to working directly for FSG and are heavily involved with the second club and potentially a third club, as well as with Liverpool. But I think that's what's going to happen. I think those guys are going to get bumped up because they're very highly regarded and they do have great working relationships with Edwards. The Premier League will induct two more members this year on a 15-man shortlist, including two former Liverpool players, has been put together. So the list is Sol Campbell, Les Ferdinand, David Silva, Michael Carrick, Robbie Fowler, John Terry, Andy Cole, Yaya Toure, Eden Hazard, like what the fuck? Jermaine Defoe, Gary Neville, Edwin van der Sar, Cesc Fabregas, Michael Owen, and Nemanja Vidic. I thought I read somewhere that Ashley Cole was going in this year. I could be wrong. I would say off that list, I would say Fowler and Ferdinand are the two that should go in. Now, eventually all of them are going to be in, though I don't think Jermaine Defoe is a Hall of Fame caliber player. And I think they've made a mess of this whole thing. I think Fowler and Ferdinand, because they're the oldest on the list and they've played in the league at the earliest point. And Andy Cole as well would be in that, but I'd put Fowler and Ferdinand ahead of Andy Cole. I just think they've made a bit of a mess of the whole thing. And they should have actually hired people that knew what they were doing when they were putting a Hall of Fame together. Right, AnfieldIndex.com. Lots of new content. Liverpool legend Robbie Fowler reflecting on his football legacy. Liverpool's strategic revamp. Talk about the structure. The piece on Virgil. There's a piece on Szoboszlai. There is a preview of the Brighton game, which is obviously upcoming. There is a new Media Matters with Dave Davis and David Lynch. And there is a Ruben Amorim special, Tom Kundert joining Dave Davis to go over Ruben Amorim, his style of play, development of players, all the stuff that has been touched on. Tom is excellent and well worth your while giving a listen to. So that's it. I will see you all tomorrow. There's a bunch of new pods to come this week and a bunch of new articles as well. So keep an eye out. Also, before I go, Buzz Podcast, Silence of the Lambs, dropped yesterday. I think it's very good. Give it a listen. Let us know what you think. Share it with a friend. Share it with a family member. Share it with a child, a dog, a cat, whoever. Share it with everybody you can. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows.
Sports Social Podcast Network.